the third installment of the Napoli Maradona years, the Maradona era chronicles, and we are going to cover this week 1986-87. Frank Sidekick and myself once again. Frank, something pretty special happens in this season, doesn't it?
Oh, mate. I mean, I've had such a good week going back through this stuff. It's just magic, isn't it, Rafa? I mean, I can't wait for this chat. I've just been in a really good mood all week. All my like friends and colleagues think, I don't know, that maybe I'm found some kind of million-pound stash somewhere in my house. Because every time I come out with highlights, I'm just walking on sunshine. So yeah, let's do it, man. This is exciting.
Well, it surely is exciting, and I have to admit that this research was probably the more extensive of all the other researches from our previous two shows. And tell you right now, I actually did shed a tear. I have to admit, towards the end of it, when the Scudetto is won, and I remember I used to watch these highlights and shed a tear back then, but this was a pretty special time to look at. Like I said, we're doing all this in chronological order and order of what happened, and it's just another way to look at a very special time in our history.
Well, it's good to cry, Rafa.
I'm an emotional guy, thing. Frank. I really am.
You got to do it. You got to have those emotions. And I even the build up that we've had with the past two shows coming into this, just these guys work so hard as well. I mean, irrespective of all the history and everything that's very emotional, you also really feel for those dudes who have done it together. And that got me quite emotional. This real sense of this group, this band of brothers that are that have brought this long sort of demanded and expected glory to the city. And actually, weirdly, I got more of us, not more, but what got me more was the images of them on the pitch after the Coppa d'Italia final, actually, which I'm sure we'll get to talking about. But that's when I got a bit, I went, so I cried, Rafa, that I got a bit moist in the eyes. But absolutely wonderful times. Glory days.
Well, yes, it is. And I hope everybody's been enjoying our episodes. We're not professionals when it comes to journalism and, archives, but we're fans. We're huge fans and we love what we do. So I hope everyone really, I've been getting a lot of really good feedback. So let's get on with it, Frank. Let's get on with it. We have to get into it because there's a lot to get into. So we are coming off the heels of a third place finish in 1985-86, and Maradona is off to Mexico for the World Cup. And we all know how that goes, so we won't dive too much into that. But back in Naples, Cristiana Sinagra is demanding now for Diego to start taking blood tests and paternity tests to prove that the baby is his. This is his situation as he's going into the World Cup, in between the two seasons, 85 and 85 86 86 87. And tension is rising in Italy as far as, Maradona and his basically just kind of washing his hands of the situation. He would reunite with Claudia, his true love, and she quickly becomes pregnant with their first child, who would be Dalma Maradona, his first daughter. But she becomes pregnant quickly. So this is in Mexico now, where Diego is about to win the World Cup with Argentina. And a pretty cool note from that really quickly was that the match Argentina-Italy was the second group match in the first stage of groups, and it was Diego versus Bagni. Leading up to that match, the question was for the Italians who would mark Diego Maradona, and it was chosen that Salvatore Bagni would do it since they knew each other very well, And, you know, but Italians were worried that Bagni would take it easy for Diego because it's Diego, you know. And
yeah, but have they ever seen Bagni play? I mean, that guy is a competitor and a half.
I mean, we'll talk more about Bagni this episode, but I honestly really feel that Bagni was one of the best, you know. He's in my 11. He's in my top 11 of all time Napoli players.
He is now. This whole thing for me has opened my eyes to him. Really, really important player. Maybe even our player of the season this season. I mean, if you're non Diego Maradona player of the season. But so much to enjoy about him. But his competitive spirit and professionalism is, you know, beyond doubt for me. So how did that go in 86 then?
The final was 1-1. They would after two victories, opening victories, they would both pretty much go to the next stage. And this draw kind of helps it, but Diego does score to make it 1-1 after an Altobelli penalty. Bagni did mark Diego pretty hard on the pitch, and you can tell by like Diego's, you know, he's tired after the match, and he and Bagni share a nice little moment after it, but you know, nothing comes of it. You know, it's just a hard fought match. You know, De Napoli is also on the team, the Italian team, yeah, which will end up securing his services in the transfer market after that. But Diego and Argentina would go on to win the World Cup. Diego goes back to Argentina for holiday after the World Cup, and upon his return to Napoli, Salvatore Bianchi has beefed the squad up. Him and Pier Paolo Marino would go ahead and, like I said, get De Napoli from Avellino, Carnevale from Udinese, Andrea Carnevale, and a surprise signing in Francesco Romano, who played with Triestina in Serie B the season previous. And Sure. Yeah.
I think you were about to say, actually, Rafa.
No, go ahead.
I didn't know about this guy, really. What an important dude this season.
Exactly. Yeah, he becomes pretty important in the season here. You know, a couple of goals, not many, but a couple of important goals, you know, and he's become a regular in the starting 11 with Maradona and Carnevale there. So the transfer market out. So we do lose Daniel Bertoni, age 31, to Udinese. This would actually be his final season playing. He'd retire after this season with Udinese. But, you know, it's after doing this research, Frank, isn't it kind of sad that Bertoni can't share the glory with us in his final season? I thought it would be amazing if he was on this team.
I totally agree. I had exactly the same thought, because we talked about him a lot, haven't we, over the past couple of episodes.
Absolutely.
And he was really important. I think without him, potentially Maradona doesn't settle at all. The team behind them isn't great, is it? And he's a massive part of that momentum that has built up coming into this season. So, yeah, I completely agree. It's a bit of a shame. And he retired, so would have been very young when he retired. And again, I really recommend people who haven't had a chance to have a look at him, really to have a look at the highlights. Really interesting player, could play out wide, could play up front, creative, and could score a fantastic free kick as well.
Absolutely. He had an amazing 84-85 there, you know, and was pretty vital in 85-86 as well. But there's no room. We're taking in De Napoli and Carnevale. We've got Giordano. We now have Romano. It's basically, we beefed up the offense, you know, and Bertoni was just the, you know, the odd man out. He had to be. But we'd also get rid of Marino to Lazio. Eraldo Pecci would go to Bologna. And Ruben Buriani, who you can remember was injured against Inter with his broken leg. He would go to, nasty injury. He would go to Spal and spend a season there and call it quits as well after that. But like we mentioned, Fernando De Napoli from Avellino, he would remain Rambo. until the, oh yeah, Oh, yeah. He'd remained until the 92-93 season where he'd go over to Milan, which I never knew. And the funny thing is I was a big Milan hater at that point in time. You know, as a 9, 10-year-old, that was the team to hate in Italy for me. And it's practically because of the fact that they were the fiercest competitor to Napoli in this era. But De Napoli would come in. So would Andrea Carnevale from Udinese. And Ciro Muro from Pisa at age 22. He'd only stay with us for one season, but what a season it was, huh? He really had a pretty really important season as well. Absolutely.
He's got some important goals, and he set up some important goals. Can I just
He sure did. Go right ahead.
Go back to the Napoli. The reason he went to Milan was Arrigo Sacchi, because he played with Sacchi at the beginning of his career, and Sacchi
right.
was a really big fan of his. Didn't actually end up playing that much for Milan. Just to say on Di Napoli and also Francesco Romano, both midfield players, that for me is the story of the season, is the midfield coming together. And that's really interesting. Again, we're talking about signings. You haven't said yet, have you, Rafa? This guy didn't work out. This guy didn't work out. All these people coming in make a really important contribution, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you'd only have Volpecina, who comes in from Pisa for one season also. So Muro and Volpecina would come in. But again, important players, you know, and obviously De Napoli Carnevale would stay together. Francesco Romano would stay for this season and the next. You'd even have Tebaldo Biliardi come in, who wasn't too big of a feature in this season, but at 23 years old, he'd come in from Palermo, but he'd remain until the 90-91 season. So he won everything with us. And De Fusco, the goalkeeper, is back from loan. He is going to play in a handful of matches this season, mostly Coppa Italia matches. But he would remain with us until 90-91 between a loan spell with Torino, and then he'd go back to Torino. But I mean, honestly, in 94 he retires with Napoli. But you know, like I said, yeah, we touched, like you said, I'm sorry, we touched on a lot of the transfers in and out in the last two episodes, and here you just know that, you know, looking ahead to what's to come, this is the pivotal moment for Napoli, is this off season here.
Yeah, and again, it speaks volumes to a club well run, doesn't it? I mean, well, when we start to talk about some of the lineups when we get into the season, this is a good long term thinking. It's taken them 2 years to put together this team, and it's strong everywhere now. So, you know, before we talk about Bertoni leaving, you know, you can really identify in our first episode that the three or four excellent players. But now, right the way through the team, you've got fantastic players that can really make a difference. Also, with really good attitude as well. And that's something I'm going to come back to later, that these guys are full of grinta, you know, and are fiercely competitive guys that really want to win. So they've thought not just about how good they are, but also whether or not they can win things.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's get the season started. It actually starts with the Coppa Italia. Now, in the last two episodes, the season also started with Coppa Italia, but Napoli would not make it far in those competitions. We're going to focus in a little bit on Coppa Italia here because, what do you know, Napoli ended up winning this one. So here's the deal with Coppa Italia in this time period. You've got eight groups of six teams each. It's 48 teams. You got a match against everyone one match against everybody in the group. So you're not doing a home and away. You're only playing five matches in the group stage. Two teams advance from each group to the round of 16, where there is a two-leg knockout. And even the final is a two-leg knockout. So Napoli would win this group by winning all five of their matches. Lazio would come in second and qualify as well. And Cesena, Vicenza, Taranto, and Spal would be the other four teams in the group. Lazio, Cesena, Vicenza, and Taranto in Serie B. Spal, Serie C1. And so Napoli run the table here. five straight wins. And the thing that's remarkable about this is that all five matches happen in 2 weeks, 1 week before the start of Serie A. You know, it ends 1 week before the start of Serie A. So already before Serie A begins, you're playing in five meaningful matches, which doesn't normally happen this time in these days, does it, Frank?
I quite like it as a setup, you know. So basically, you've got a group stage, and you know, there are lower league teams, there are higher league teams. I think it worked really well. The thing for me this season, Rafa, it's what, 46 games this season, and with a smaller league than what we have now. So there's only 16 teams in the league. So you've got this epic season. Maradona, as you say, has won the World Cup. I think a lot of people would think maybe we'll give him a bit of a rest here and not get him until the league starts. But Maradona features, I don't know if he features in all five, but he scores three goals over the course of these one, two, three, four, five games. Incredible fitness levels, right?
It sure is. It's just a testament to, like you said, how the team is run and managed. You know, every piece of the puzzle is required to compete in all these matches. And honestly, to win a Coppa Italia in this stage of you know, time, you'd have to go through 13 matches. So you're going through five matches in the group stage and then two legs until the final. So you've got the round of 16, quarters, semis, and finals. That's eight matches right there. Quite a bit of a difference than what's required to win Coppa Italia nowadays, where if you're seeded 1-8, you don't enter the tournament until January, and that's where you only really have to play in five matches to win.
Yeah.
You know, granted, the field gets a little tougher as the tournament goes on, because then you weed out some of the, you know, lesser teams, but it's still a daunting task to go ahead and have to win a Coppa Italia and try to maintain a Scudetto. And I think that's why, and we'll touch on this later too, that's why you don't see a lot of domestic doubles in this era or before, because of the way that you would have to win both titles. But Lazio get beat 2-0. Against Napoli. Let's run through it. So August 24th, Spal-Napoli. Napoli beat Spal 2-0. August 27th, Napoli beat Lazio 2-0. August 31st, Napoli beat Taranto 1-0. And those are all away matches. So now we've got three straight shutouts. On September 3rd, Napoli would beat Vicenza 2-1 in a game that's actually played in Benevento for some reason. And that would be the clincher for the group, and then Napoli would take care of Cesena 3-1, and Napoli win the group and are on to the next round. So they don't have to worry about it, though, until about February now. So that's out of the way. Anything nice to note? Yeah, it's a really nice start to the season. Anything that you see noteworthy in this Coppa Italia group stage?
We got Cannavale scores a couple of goals, so he opens his account. Moro does as well. And, you know, we'll see the team. You know, we've got quite a lot of new signings. So, again, to start with five wins is always a very good way to start a season. And it strikes me as a good way of really getting some momentum and some gel between the team before we get on with things in the league.
Right. The Taranto-Napoli match, the third match of the group stage, would be without Maradona. So Ciro Muto would actually wear number 10. And the whole entire 11, starting 11, were Italian. That's something I kind of noted from there. That was kind of interesting. Ciro Muto plays with the number 10 jersey. Isn't that weird? In the Maradona era.
There you go. There's a few cases of the 10 being handed up. Imagine being that guy. Like, thanks. I'm going to play like you.
This is back when, you know, 1 through 11 were conducive of who's starting on the field. You know, you had to be 1 through 11, and then your subs were 12 through 16. So nobody was really handed a jersey. The number 10 is associated with Maradona because he's always worn it. because he always plays, but there are times where he has to relinquish it. So I just found that interesting as well, even though I knew that all along. But some out there might not, Frank. So here we go. Napoli's first 11 of the season is Garella, Bruscolotti, Ferrara, Bagni, and Ferrario in defense, Renica, Caffarelli, and De Napoli, and then Giordano, Maradona, Carnevale. That's the first starting 11 for Brescia Napoli. First match of the season in Brescia, and I've already made a star on my notes here because Diego Maradona, his goal to open the season, to open the Serie A season, is just amazing. You want to describe how that goal went, Frank?
Well, it's a beauty, isn't it?
It's a beauty.
And before Maradona's genius is unleashed on Brescia, we have to talk about Bagni's fantastic pass, right?
Oh, yeah. The assist by Bagni was just amazing. And that's another note. You'll find that quite regularly throughout this tenure, that Bagni finds Maradona quite a bit, doesn't he?
They have a great chemistry. And, yeah, so straight away we can see that. And so he sort of chests down, Maradona chests down this Bagni pass and then dribbles into the area. How many players has he beat? I can't think how many.
Five. It was five defenders. Yeah.
Mamma mia. Ridiculous. I mean, so much of the season, you look at what he's doing and you're just like, man.
And he kind of serpentines past them, you know, sort of like a slalom right past them. And he scores with his left foot. And it's sort of similar to the goal against England in...
Thanks again, Rafa, for bringing
in
it up.
Mexico. I had to bring it up, Frank. Just to kind of jab it in there.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
I mean, it's nothing like it when you really think about it, but just moving past the ability to visionize his move past defenders plus control the ball with his feet was just amazing. Just amazing.
And the finish as well, as you say, the left foot into the bottom right-hand corner. Again, that stuff's not easy when you've had to chest the ball down, beat five players, and then have the calmness to just put it in the perfect place. Also, probably worth mentioning, afterwards, Bagni hits the bar with an amazing diving header. So again, that's very representative of Bagni for the whole season. He's really, really involved in everything, just like Diego, I think.
A chant starts to break out, Maradona e meglio Pelé, and it becomes a song. And it's really, I'm trying to find it, and I will find it for this. But Maradona calls himself normal after being asked what he thinks of the fans singing that. And he says, nah, you know, he's just a normal footballer. You know, he cites luck for the goal coming in, which I don't know is humble or is just sort of like.
Maybe he's experimenting with modest things. It's an experiment that doesn't last a huge period of time. But yeah, why not give it a go, Diego? But yeah, what a great start to the season, man.
Very good start. It's worth mentioning that the UEFA Cup first round match is after this match, and Napoli beats Toulouse 1-0. Toulouse, the French team, 73,875 fans. Carnevale scores in the 55th. Very long cross from Bagni to the near post, and Carnevale headers it in. I'm gonna star this one because it's sort of a goal that you would kind of see today with, Insigne trying to find Callejon to pass over to Mertens or anybody else hanging out in the box. Yeah. But it's a really cool a goal. I would really love to find that and post that as well. And Napoli's return to UEFA after 3 years comes with a lot of fans, and everybody is very, very excited about that. Then Napoli play Udinese 1-1 in the second match on September 21st. However, news has broken that Diego Armando Maradona Jr. is born on September 20th, and the media is eating it up, and they are hounding Maradona for words of this news, and he will not speak anything of that. And that might be something to mention because Maradona goes off and doesn't have the greatest of few games here. You can tell his head is not totally into football.
Yeah, and I think that what we think about the rights and wrongs of that, just from a sporting level, to be competing at the level he's competing in a city like Napoli, where there's so much pressure and attention on you, inevitably that that's going to bleed into your game a bit. Amazing we don't see more of that over the course of the season, actually, Rafa, don't you reckon?
It really is, and I think it's an attribute to the focus of the whole squad. You know, he knows that there's something that they have to go get, and they do it. You know, so Napoli Udinese 1-1. De Napoli in the 29th minute will get his first Serie A goal with Napoli. It was a absolute gem of a first goal, I should say. Graziani makes it 48th, makes it 1-1. But like I mentioned, De Napoli's goal, man, just a corner kick clearance out to De Napoli from 30 yards out. De Napoli controls it with his right foot and blasts it home without it touching the ground. It just was one of the nicest non-Maradona Napoli goals I think I've ever seen.
It's a beauty, absolute beauty, perfect. Just he hits it perfectly. You know, not a bad opening duo of league goals for the season, right?
Absolutely.
And great for a new signing to have something like that. And, you know, De Napoli, as most people will know, goes on to be one of the most loved players that we've ever had, and getting the Rambo nickname. And I think this probably would have helped, wouldn't it, straight away?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, as I mentioned, Udinese gets the draw in this one. It is Bertoni's new club, but he does not visit the San Paolo for this one. So that is something to note. Third match, Avellino-Napoli, 0-0. It's the second straight draw after opening the season with a win. Garella makes a great performance here. De Napoli smashes the crossbar on the 29th. Any news, yeah. Any notes about that one, Frank?
No, just that most of it was long-range efforts. So, you know, it's a glorious season, but we've just drawn three in a row. So, you know, if we put ourselves in the shoes of the people back then, let's imagine it's 1986. you know, I know we were both three at the time, Rafa, but let's imagine we're a bit older. We've had a couple of seasons where we've hit periods of inconsistency that have really cost us. And I think some of those fears would be creeping in here, right? It's not a fantastic performance. As you say, Maradona is slightly distracted by things, but I think a lot of people would have been thinking, same old, right?
Yeah, and the distractions would continue into the UEFA Cup, because next would be the second leg, and Toulouse would actually beat Napoli 1-0 in 90 minutes. And then the match would go to penalties, where Stopira, I'm going to butcher his name, Stopira. Thanks, Frank. I don't know what
I'm doing. I don't know. It sounded right. But, you know,
listen,
we'll
I'll go with Stopira. So Stopira would get hit the goal in the 15th minute, and then he would miss his penalty, and the next four were converted for Toulouse. Giordano, Ferrario, and Renica would make their three penalties, but what do you know? Bagni gets his saved, and Maradona misses the decisive penalty, hits the post, something you don't see a lot of, and you probably don't see again in his Napoli career, Maradona missing a penalty.
We do. Spoiler alert. We do see this later in the season. But yes, it's incredibly rare. And actually, the two real heroes of the season here, in my opinion. So again, if you were to put yourself in the shoes of the Tifosi, you wouldn't be thinking at this stage, this is our most glorious season in the history of the club. We haven't won in four. Maradona seems all over the place, missing penalties. But Bianchi writes about this moment, doesn't he, in his biography, saying it was actually, in his mind, the most important moment of the season, which I think is really interesting.
Can I tell you, without, not to interrupt, but can I tell you without knowing of Bagni's autobiography? This is Bagni's autobiography, or Maradona's autobiography.
Bianchi's
autobiography. Without knowing what he said, my note here says this may be the most important result of the season, because as well as Napoli were prepared for this competition, for the Serie A and Coppa Italia, had they gone on deeper into the UEFA Cup, who knows what might have happened. I don't know of a famous, double, domestic double plus a international trophy, you know, from off the top of my head from any other club in Europe. And you might be able to correct me or to inform me, but honestly, there's you know, we've already playing in a lot of matches between the 30 Serie A matches and the 13 Coppa Italia matches. To have to keep going in the UEFA Cup here might have spelled trouble for Napoli throughout the campaign.
If you I don't know if you got my notes, Rafa, but in the spreadsheet, it's in Italian, so I couldn't tell you exactly what it says, but it's got the exact quote from Bianchi. Again, it's a sign of a good club. You know, they've hired. You know, we'll talk about the relationship, I think, between Bianchi and Maradona next episode, but it wasn't easy, was it? And he was under a lot of pressure behind the scenes. Whenever Maradona was unhappy with something, it would always go over his head. But I think they really hired the right guy because, you know, you've got a lot of new signings, slightly underperforming, wheels are coming off. And it seems like he had the personality to actually motivate the team to really use this as a way of galvanizing everybody into this incredible moment in our history. So I think there's lots of reasons, there's a few reasons to be critical of Bianchi over the next, you know, little period once we get out of the season. But I think this is something where you really have to give him his props. Nice one, mister.
Yeah, absolutely. And what this says here is that they were made to have to forget about UEFA and think only of Coppa Italia, which was not on their immediate thoughts because they were already unbeaten in Coppa Italia and didn't have to go through that until February, where they would remain unbeaten and the season. So in hindsight, it was just probably the best thing for them because, you know, they were made very quickly to have to forget about it, which, you know, is okay. Your first trip back to UEFA after 3 years and your first with Maradona is a little disappointing, but I think Napoli fans would not trade in that moment, if you ask me.
And when do we next lose a game? It's a long time.
Oh yeah, we don't lose again until 1987, the beginning of the year. So cool. Napoli Torino 3-1 in the fourth match of the season. Bagni would get his first of the season. Ciro Ferrara would get his first goal for Napoli, and Bruno Giordano would net in the 79th. Sabato would score for Torino in the 11th, so making it 1-0. Napoli coming back. It's funny because there was a headline that said Sabato goal ma per Napoli tre volte domenica, which means, you know, Sabato scores, which in Italian is Saturday, but not for Napoli three times the net on Sunday, which is pretty cool.
That's a good cool headline,
isn't it?
I'm really enjoying your bilingual approach to things, Rafa. Keep it up. Did you notice what I noticed here about the starting lineup? So Bruscolotti is not playing. Okay.
Not much, right.
So the oldest player in this lineup is Garella. He's 31. And again, you've got to think back in this era and in Italian football in general, still it's pretty hard for younger players to break through. 7 of the 11 are either 25 or under, right?
It's amazing. Yeah.
And only Ferrario had played for us before Maradona's arrival. So there's 10 out of the 11 players have arrived in the past 2 years.
So this is basically a Maradona team.
Yeah.
On the pitch right here. And they don't disappoint with the 3-1 win.
Fantastic.
The Bagni goal. Let's talk about that.
It's a bicycle kick, right?
Yeah.
This guy, he can do it.
It reminded me of Paolo Cannavaro's bicycle kick against Juve in the Coppa Italia in 2006.
That's a great spot, Rafa. Your
it really
spot. I absolutely agree.
Am I right? I mean,
yeah.
you know, not quite at the same time of the match where Cannavaro netted that with like 1 minute left in extra time, injury time of extra time. But for a defender / defensive midfielder to come in like Bagni to just get himself in there, stuck in, you know, good for him. I love it. I love it a lot. And Ferrara's goal too. What a mess that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a glory. I mean, it's a classic centre-back's goal, isn't it, really? But he'll remember that, won't he, for the rest of his life?
Well, it's his first goal and you know, his hometown club. And honestly, yeah, it's a crazy action because it's a free kick by Diego, a touch to Giordano, sort of like a back-heel touch. Shot saved by the keeper's legs, back to Bagni, who puts it in the box. It's fumbled by the defense, back to Diego, who shoots whose cross is intended for Corradini, but it's cleared. I'm sorry, the shot's intended for Cannavale, but it's cleared by Corradini, and Ferrara shoots it. Yeah. And then it's saved by the keeper again with his legs, but he rebounds it and scores again. So it's a crazy action. I'm going to post it. It's really cool. It's a nice way for just Ferrara taking a shot and then grabbing his own rebound and scoring as a center back. Just for me is pretty cool. You're right. That's a very special first goal for somebody nice. like Chito Ferrara. Yeah. So we get that win. Napoli would go to Genoa and play against Sampdoria 2-1. I'm sorry, Frank. Did you want to know anything else about that or not?
No, that's good. There's lots of cool stuff to talk about, so let's keep going.
Napoli wins in Genoa 2-1. Caffarelli would get the 8th minute goal. Viali would net a penalty kick to tie it, but then 5 minutes later, Diego Maradona would get his own penalty kick to get the win. Napoli take joint first here with Juve for the first time in 5 years. They win at Marassi. I'm sorry, for the first time in 5 years, they take first place. Momentarily. This is their first win at the Marassi since 1972. So 15 years. It's also their best start since 1977, 10 years. So Napoli is on a collision course with destiny here, aren't they?
Nice, good phrase. We're lucky here. I mean, Samp are a good side. They've got, you know, Viali, Mancini, Fusa.
Diego calls Vierkwood the Incredible Hulk, the way he admired him from the first season, 84-85, if you remember that. We talked about that for a second. But, yeah, he calls him Incredible Hulk here from his marking.
And this is a sign of championship-winning team. We don't really deserve the win. And Maradona, I mean, we're going to say a lot of nice things about him. He's a bit naughty here, isn't he, Raf? But it's a dive for the penalty, don't you reckon?
Absolutely a dive, yeah. You know, listen, he's not the cleanest human or player in the world, but doesn't mean he's not the best.
Maradona, we got the 2 points, though.
We got the 2 points, which was important. Maradona would come out and say, the month of suffering is over, the future is ours. So that was his headline there. Napoli Atalanta 2-2, Volpecina and Diego on a penalty kick for us, Contrarutti and Innocciati for Atalanta. So Napoli would open, Contrarutti would get the equalizer, Diego the go ahead, and then 9 minutes from time, Innocciati would tie. A very rare error by Garella in this one for the 2-2. Pass gone bad, yeah. But Volpecina would get his first goal for Napoli. And now that draw with a Juve 5-0 win would see Napoli go back down to second. Juve 10 points, Napoli 9, Inter 8. Just a little note. Because Roma-Napoli. Napoli would go to Rome and win 1-0 on a 46-minute Diego Maradona goal. And Napoli here would take joint first again. But this time, they wouldn't look back, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. And briefly back on that Atalanta era, the superstitiousness of us Napoli fans, you know, 9 minutes from time and Garella passes it straight back to the team who score and you think, oh, no. And, you know, the top spot's gone. And then, yeah, we go to Rome. And it looks like a pretty solid performance to me. Garella's a bit of a hero towards the end. To keep us in it. So he very quickly makes amends and absolutely we're back on track. Awful marking on Maradona for the goal. I mean, you can't treat the greatest player to have the ball at his feet in that way. He'll just eat you for breakfast. So, yeah. So the kind of superstitiousness of thinking, oh, no, the wheels are coming off, is briefly sated in Rome. But there's going to be lots of moments like that, aren't there, Rafa? Of course,
oh, absolutely.
When you get
absolutely
close to the glory and you're like, oh, are we going to throw it away? Is it going to go wrong?
Just a few,
so far,
yeah.
So good.
There are also a few other times where there's horrendous marking on Maradona. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You've got to have two, three people on him. Sort of akin to Messi, Ronaldo today. You can't just let somebody like Maradona just go and do what he wants. The Scudetto watch. Juve Inter 1-1. That means Napoli and Juve at 11 and Inter at 9. Napoli Inter 0-0 for the eighth match of the season. 82,000 fans would watch this. It's a 0-0, but it's a very physical and you know, contested battle here. Maradona would hit out after the match that he's whistled every time he touches the ball, you know, by the ref, and that Daniele Massaro could have ended Bagni's career with a tackle that he pulled on
Bagni.
Awful tackle.
Yeah.
Como Juve. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just that Zenga has a great game against us in goal.
Zenga does have a great in the other match, in the return, he also has a very, very good match against us as well.
He's the best player against us this season, I'd say. He's the player that consistently puts in the, you know, well, obviously we know him as a slightly patso mister, but great keeper back in the day.
Absolutely. Como Juve would end 0-0, surprisingly, which means Napoli's drop would also see Juve's drop sort of on par with each other. So they are still joint leaders at 12, thank goodness, because that was a really good opportunity for Juve to take the lead here. A lot of things like that happen this season, Frank, where we stumble just a bit, but so does everybody else. And it really does attribute, you know, and it helps us attain the Scudetto at the end of the season, because there's a lot of times where, like I said, smaller teams would come out and so, but surprisingly here, Como is only 2 points behind Napoli with 10 points. It's Juve 12, Napoli 12, Inter Roma 10, Como and Verona 10. So all of them have 10. And I know it's early in the season, but still, for a team like Como to come out with results against bigger teams is pretty amazing. You know, it helps us get to where we need to be as well.
And they've done it for a few years. They've been mid-table ready for a few years now. So maybe there'll be a parallel podcast going on somewhere with Como fans talking about the glorious mid-table side of the mid-80s.
Match number 9, Juve-Napoli 3-1. Napoli go to Torino and win. This was our zoom-in match of the week. Frank, take it away, my man.
Wow. Just amazing. And you can get hold of the whole thing out there, guys. I got mine from Footballia. Watch the whole thing. First time I've watched a full-length match on this project, Rafa, where I've enjoyed every second of it. It's a captivating game. Gripping. Packed Juventus Stadium. Really nasty atmosphere. And
fair share of Napoli fans, though, I do have to say. Fair share of Napoli fans.
Massive presence on the away curva.
Sure.
And you can hear them throughout, but that really adds to the atmosphere. You've got this real sense that it's there's two lot of fans. And we talked about the importance of Napoli to people in the north of Italy with their heritage and stuff. So there's a lot of that on display here. But isn't it nice, Raf, to see us actually not just compete against Juve, but really dominate them for most of the match, wouldn't you say?
It's very nice, especially when Juve take the lead with Laudrup in the 50th minute. You know, no goals in the first half. But Laudrup would take the lead for Juve, and then Ferrario in the 73rd, 2 minutes later, Giordano, and in the 90th, Volpecina. I just think this win was a huge win, and I might be getting ahead of myself unless there's something else that you want to add here, Frank. But this win would prove to be pretty huge. Napoli would pull away from Juve here, and I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think Juve would catch Napoli after this one. It is the first win in Torino against Juve in 29 years, November 24th, 1957 was the last time Napoli would win. 3-1, same scoreline.
And it's great fun to watch the players believe in themselves over the course of the match as well, isn't it? Like, you can see them turn into champions. I mean, we're only a few games into the season, but as you say, Juve go ahead and it's really not very deserved, in my opinion. And how many other teams would drop their heads? And we do exactly the opposite. Sure. And really, for me, what I think about this team this season, people talk about Klopp's team being heavy metal football, right?
Right.
We play heavy metal football this season. It's so in your face, and it comes from the midfield. So can I talk about the first half a bit?
Go right ahead.
So you've got Bagni, and you've got Di Napoli, and you've got Romano and in midfield, I think. And what's going on is that every time they get the ball, they're trying to get it forward, either through passing or dribbling or running, and they're pressing and pressing and pressing Juventus, and you can't stop for breath. It's incredible. And Bagni is so calm with the ball. And the commentator says a few times, Bagni con calma, or Bagni molto elegante e molto calma. That's what he's like. And so you've got Di Napoli and Bagni protecting the defense, not through just through tackling and thuggery. You've got that with technique. And there's so many examples of them using their close ball control to beat Juve players in the Napoli half. It's wonderful to see. And that pressure, and that pressure, and pressure. Juventus look completely knackered. Platini looks past it. He looks gone. He looks too time for put your feet up and your slippers in your pipe. And, you know, that heavy metal football, that pressure. We're always looking to get the ball forward. Is that something that you picked up on?
That's, I did.
Directness of how we want to play. And it's not just long ball. I'm not saying we're just pumping it forward. It's just so cool to watch players just wanting to get that ball into the goal.
The tide is changing. You can see it. You can sense it in the first half. You can sense it in the whole season. You know, Maradona is becoming a bigger figure than Platini now. You know, one can argue that Platini's, you know, getting on, you know, and it just is something that is remarkable to watch unfold as we do our research, you know.
And the other guy to mention in terms of this heavy metal football is Rijnaka. So and the amount of times he brings it out from the back and he's running and he's quite pacey. He looks like Laurent Blanc to me quite a lot.
Sure.
Another former Napoli player. And there's he nearly scores an incredible goal. Immediately after Juve score, with a sort of Koulibaly-esque surge forward, and Maradona picks him out and he forces this incredible save. And I just think it's fair enough to press hard in the first 20 minutes, but to be keeping going away from home in Turin, really after you go behind and from, you know, right to the last minute, is that, for me, I watch this and I go, yeah, I can see how we want a Scudetto playing like this. You know, it must have been terrifying to play against.
Yes, sir. This would prove Napoli to take sole possession of first place. Napoli would get to 14. Inter's win over Torino would still see them 2 points behind Napoli at 12, but, you know, Juve's in the rear view now. Do you want to mention anything about the goals that were scored here, Frank?
Yeah, sure. So the first goal we've got is where are we? It's kind of from Maradona corner. Well, Maradona wins the corner. Romano floats the corner over. It's headed down in a really crowded penalty. I didn't see you headed it down. Did you see?
It was Ferrari. It was, I think. Well, Ferrari got the goal. I didn't know who.
Headed down. And then
Ferrari, I didn't make a note of that.
And he jumps in and kicks it in, and it's just wonderful. I mean, the team.
Just great team. Yes, great team celebration and teamwork, you know. Awesome.
And that's the, what, like 73rd minute, is it?
That is the 73rd, and that's the game tire.
And then what happens in the 74th minute, Rafael?
Bruno Giordano happens in the 74th minute.
Yes, mate. I mean, he's a great player, Bruno Giordani. I love him, and he is very important this season. Scored some big goals. This is maybe the biggest out of them. It's another corner, right? And this time Maradona does take it.
Yes, sir.
Someone heads it up at the near post. I don't know who that is. I couldn't see. And then Giordano sneaks in at the far post to put it away. And Juve just completely... It really reminded me, actually, weirdly, of the 99 European Cup final, you know, when Bayern Munich are destroyed in 2 minutes by Manchester United.
Sure.
And, you know, Juve still have, like, 15 minutes to go, but they look gone, completely gone, don't they?
That's all it took, were those 2 minutes, really, to unravel, you know?
It's like boxing, just a bang-bang combination.
Sure, they're sure.
Down on the floor.
The 1-2 punch there. And then Volpecino, we get the 90th minute goal. And, you know, that's it. That's that. Napoli win for the first time, as I said, in 29 years in Torino against Juve. They set a lot of records this season, and we'll get to it. But, yes, please go watch this zoom-in focus match of the episode is Juve-Napoli. It's an early match. There are a lot of matches that you might want to go back and watch, but we picked this one because it's of quite big significance here.
Maradona in his book writes about it really well, and I don't know if you picked up on this, Raf, but he's talking about how, like, the whole stadium is supporting them, and that Juve fans and Napoli fans, they brought together the working classes to celebrate this team. It's a ridiculous thing to say. But why not? Let's believe that.
Right. Let's continue here because there's still a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
Napoli.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. Napoli, Empoli, 4-0. So now Napoli is on a groove, and they have smashed Empoli 4-0. Maradona on a free kick in the 26th minute. Carnevale would get 2 and 3 on the 45th and 68th. And then Salvatore Bagni once again, 79th minute. Carnevale's first double, his first two goals of the Serie A season. He has about three in Coppa. But there you have it, Napoli-Empoli.
Yeah, and again, we followed up with a win, and we haven't done that too often over the past couple of years. Last season, we really struggled for consistency. So again, it speaks to whoever it is. It might be Maradona, it might be Bianchi, it might be other people, keeping the team's heads together and ready to go. And it's a fantastic performance. Nice little trick by Maradona right at the end. He does a kind of, you know, when Zidane does those 360 turns. Well,
oh, yeah.
Maradona does it on the halfway line and beats like three players. Wonderful.
I mean, that's not surprising to me. Juve would beat Atalanta. Como would tie to Inter. Napoli 16, Juve 14, Inter 13. And a bunch of teams on 12. Napoli, Verona, 0-0. So second straight game at the San Paolo. 76,000 fans. Verona and Napoli always will draw a lot of fans. It's a heated rivalry, as we know. But a 0-0 penalty non-call on Diego, for me, it was a clear penalty. And Giordano came extremely close to scoring. Very, very close. Just missed the post by, like, I don't know, a couple of centimeters. The Scudetto watch here is Inter Avellino 0-0, Torino 0, Milan 0, Como 3, Udinese 1. There's Como again. Roma 3, Juve 0. So that's huge because Napoli would beat Juve and then Juve would lose to Roma, two consecutive losses. So Juve is far in the rearview now.
Yeah. Napoli have a nice team.
Sure. Napoli 3-point lead over everybody else, 17 points. Inter, Roma, Juve, and Como 14. Milan, Verona 13. I am going to say that is a huge moment as well, because Juve being beaten twice while Napoli win twice, that's huge. And obviously Juve came in as favorites, you know, Scudetto winners from last season, and it's going right for us, Frank.
Yeah, and how many times have we seen this not happen in Napoli's history?
Exactly.
You know, just let's not
you get a leg up and then you can't progress any further. It just happens. It always
maybe
does.
Maybe we used all our luck up in this season. I don't know.
Or in the next.
Yeah, over the next few years as well. But yeah, absolutely. We're starting to see some daylight. But then we look at the next sort of few matches. Have we got that Scudetto mentality, but it's still not quite pushing away, are we, in terms of winning and winning and winning and winning, are we?
Yeah, we're always sort of, you know, we're always sort of just ahead of everybody else, you know, within reach. Everyone else is kind of within reach of us. Napoli would travel to Milan and play there. Another situation where the pitch is disgraceful. And I don't understand why and how a city like Milan and two huge teams like Inter and AC Milan would manage to find themselves in a disgraceful pitch when it rains. It's just a disaster.
It's disgusting. I mean, it's so interesting to see. I mean, there's a shot. I think the cameraman's on the pitch. I think it's before the game, or maybe it's at halftime or something. So you can really see there's just huge dents in the pitch and chunks of mud.
Yeah, you will never find that. You just won't. They won't play.
But it was deliberate. I mean, we got Maradona. What's he famous for? Dribbling. So I think these things. And there's a great history of that. For England, it was Wolves in the 50s playing the great Hungarian team. And beforehand, Ron Atkinson, as a trainee, was sent out to dig the pitch up. So all the youth team players were just kicking chunks out of the pitch. So I think they've definitely done that deliberately. And I mean, there's also a bad tempered game, isn't it? There's a brawl, isn't there, after Bagni gets hurt in a 50-50, and Maradona's straight in there, Capitano, chest out, sorting it out. I like that.
Sure, I think he'd get a yellow card as well for his protests, but
yeah.
But you know, it's such a heated match, lots of calls against Napoli. The second straight 0-0, and the second time this season where you get two straight draws. But Napoli are still unbeaten in the first half of the season. Scudetto, watch. Fiorentina would lose to Inter. Ascoli, Roma would tie 1-1. Juve won, Torino nil. Verona won, Como nil, making it Napoli with 18. Inter and Juve with 16. Roma, Verona 15. Milan, Como 14. So Napoli were 3 points ahead, which was the farthest they were ahead at that point. And then this draw would see Inter and Juve kind of climb back to 2 points behind. Once again, like you mentioned, not quite pulling away. Napoli would play Como 2-1. This is right before the Christmas break. In the 18th and the 39th, Caffarelli would get a rare double. And then Bruce Scolotti own goal in the 88th would get the goal for Como. But this was another important match because, you know, Como 2 points behind Napoli from the week before. So, you know, another team that we have to try to, you know, pull away from. So there's that. Caffarelli's double were from both goals were from set pieces taken by Diego Maradona, yeah. Which just cements Diego's importance to this club.
Yeah, and you know, it's easy just to look at goals, but there's assists, but also it's not actually, if you were to do the official what qualifies as an assist, there aren't that many assists in the first half of the season here. And that's partly because a lot of the chances of players following up after a shot from Diego. So that's the you know, his importance. The best way to see it is just to watch the highlights, isn't it, or to watch the matches, because you know he's central to everything happening. And yeah, this is a really important, also finishing the year with something positive and finishing with a win after those two draws, nice way to celebrate Christmas. 21st of December that game was, so they go into the end of the year with some real momentum.
Yes, Napoli would go on. Diego would go on to say that Napoli fans can, you know, wish for the Scudetto over the Christmas and New Year's. He'd wish everybody a happy holiday, and Napoli would end. 1986 on 20 points. Inter with 18. Milan, Juve, Verona with 16. And they are dubbed in the papers as Campione di Natale, champions of Christmas. However, on the return from Christmas, Napoli would suffer their first defeat of the season away to Fiorentina 3-1.
And it's not a great Fiorentina team either. They end up finishing 10th this season. And we really don't deserve to lose, actually. We play really well, I think, in this game, Rafa. I don't know what you think.
We did. There were lots of close calls. There was a penalty not given, and there were a lot of shady calls, if you ask me, if I remember. But not enough, you know, to make an excuse. Fiorentina were the better team of this day. Diaz in the 6th, Antonioni in the 24th, and then a 90th minute goal by somebody I can't. I think it was Minelli. Yes, Minelli. Yes. I couldn't read my own handwriting, but Diego would get a goal in the 50th minute to pull back to 2-1. But Garella's last the goal he gave up for the last goal, he came out all the way to midfield. I'm thinking they wanted to try to get, you know, push to get that equalizer in the last minute where Monelli would just, you know, do what he had to do.
It's an empty net, but again. You know, okay, we lost 3-1, but there's the competitive spirit, and you really get that sense that we never give up at any point. That last goal comes about from the whole team trying to get something back, mm-hmm. and it's a step up from what we've seen over the past two seasons in terms of that. And again, I don't know. I think that's coming not just from Maradona and Bianchi. That there's people like Giordano, who's a real competitor, and Di Napoli and Bruscolotti, but there's all sorts of people here that are really pushing us forward. So yeah, it's a bad result, but the wheels don't come off, do they, like they did last year? And I think you can see why in this game.
Maradona would lash out at the referees after the match, where he would state that the team is contro di tutti, which means against everyone, and his facial expression tells it all, where the reporter would ask, what do you mean against the referees? And he said, no, he says against everyone, not only Inter but Fiorentina too, and with another look meaning that in the match against Inter and Fiorentina, the referees just wouldn't give Napoli anything at all. They'd whistle at every time Maradona touched the ball. It was a similar situation here. So Maradona's taking a hit out at the referees here.
Credo che campionato comincia per noi adesso. A parte che credo che oggi abbiamo capito che stiamo giocando contro di tutti.
Contro?
Contro tutti quanti.
Ah, appunto, ma per vincere bisogna giocare contro tutti, no?
No, non si gioca solo con l'Inter, si gioca contro tutti quanti, perché oggi abbiamo capito dentro del campo che non stavamo giocando solo con contro la Fiorentina.
Ok? Vuol capire, capisci?
He's a competitor, he loves a fight, doesn't he? He does
argue. Sure. Absolutely. Inter's beating Atalanta would make it another win for them, and they would tie Napoli on 20. They'd be joint leaders. Milan Juve behind them with 18, Roma Verona behind them with 16. So there's nothing is over at all. The first half of the season would end with a Napoli Ascoli 3-0 win. Muro would get his first Serie A goal. Romano would get another goal in the 67th. And Salvatore, and Salvatore Bagni would get the 88th minute. There he is again. But Muro and Romano getting their first Serie A goals of the season.
Important players for us. Unsung heroes. You might not have heard of these guys, but they're really, really consistent performers over the course of the season.
Very important. Inter will lose their match, which means Napoli are mezzo scudetto winners, which means they have won the winter championship. Napoli 22 points, Inter 20, Milan 19, Juve 19, Roma 18. Maradona with 6 goals to end the first half of the season. 8 wins, 6 draws, 1 loss, 24-4 and 10 against. It's looking pretty good there, Frank. What do you think?
Well, we've been here before, though, haven't we? It's funny hearing you say Christmas champions and the first half of the season champions. I think I've got post-traumatic stress disorder from being a Napoli fan about these times. But so I don't think anyone cares, you know, about this. But it is good, that things are looking up. But it's happened in the past. It happened in the 70s. It's happened to us recently. The main thing is how we kick on from here. And but having said that, this team is playing heavy metal football. It's it's competitive, it's direct. There's this real sense of just moving forward with the ball, you know, with the ball at your feet. There's all sorts, so much sprinting with the ball at your feet, players following up shots and then scoring afterwards. So if the heavy metal football can hold out, if we don't get tired as well, because Maradona's got a long, long time World Cup and starting the season early with the Coppa d'Italia, if we can keep up this intensity, then yeah, of course, the Scudetto's ours.
January 18th, match 16, Napoli would beat Brescia 2-1. Ferrara would get the opener in the 14th, followed by a Branco equalizer for Brescia in the 55th, but Giordano would get a 64th-minute penalty kick. That's because Diego Maradona, who usually takes the penalty kicks, were injured, and he was off the pitch when the first goal comes from Ferrara. Giordano corner finds Chiro Ferrara, who nets a nice header. The equalizer comes as Maradona goes off injured, and he won't return. De Napoli taken down in the box right after Maradona leaves, and Giordano slots the penalty home, the match winner. But big worries about the ankle. Maradona goes on and says, I have a hard head. He says testadura, which is hard head, obviously. I want to play every match, so he hints that he will not be sitting out. But the doctors say they need to monitor it. Two big hits in the first and one in the second on his ankle that he injured in Spain. So there's a little bit of worry, but Diego seems to think that he's okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
we know what's going to happen, but even like that, you go, oh, no.
Well, and it's at the San Paolo, so you know when he's getting carried off and in tears that something may be wrong. You know, like you mentioned before, it's just our luck that something like this would happen in the middle of, you know, a potential Scudetto season. It's hard to see.
Can I just do a shout out for Giordano's crossing ability? Another thing that
goodness. Absolutely.
People there talk of, the corner's fantastic, and later we'll see some really important crosses. And I think it's one of the reasons that Maradona liked him. He mentions it in his book that he can work the flanks as well as also being a really impressive sort of normal number nine. So that versatility of his forward play is really important.
Something that's important as well, and I'm going to go back to it really quick, is the Fiorentina loss, because I think that may have lit a fire under this team, because the win 3-0 after that against oh my gosh, I just put my notes away. The win 3-0 after
Ascoli.
Ascoli, yes. And then this win here would absolutely be the start of, you know, Napoli's reign of terror. I think this really does kick off an amazing stretch in the season. Udinese, Napoli.
How does Maradona respond to his injured foot?
He comes back from this injury a week later. I'm sorry, this is not a week later. They're actually off for a week.
Yeah.
So he's had time to rest it, but you can tell after this particular match, he's still limping. He limps off noticeably after the match. But Udinese Napoli 3-0 Napoli. 29th minute a penalty kick, and then a 43rd minute goal from open play. 78th minute De Napoli. Maradona just makes up for the injury. You know, he makes sure these fans know, hey, listen, I might be hurt, but I'm not giving up. I'm not slowing down. And
it's a wonderful goal. Wonderful
it's a
goal
wonderful, wonderful goal. Yes, absolutely.
Romano, De Napoli involved in midfield, and Romano plays a through ball. Maradona rushes onto and finishes it really delicately, I think. And you can see that Maradona's trying to prove something about his hard head, as you said, Rafa, that there's that grinta of playing with that injury. And that ankle injury he got in Spain was unspeakable. It's one of the worst ankle injuries you can get. So, incredible sort of toughness for Maradona to do that performance. And again, you've got a dodgy ankle, and this playing surface is one of the worst I've ever seen. And to score a goal like that goal with those flowing 1-2s is incredible, really.
You have to wonder how many careers were cut short by these playing surfaces, you know? It's very easy to pick up an injury on these types of conditions, and you know, to play the aggressive style of football that was the 80s on these kind of pitches is simply remarkable. And that's, I think, why players in the 80s get the leg up on players of today by being recognized as some of the best players in the world, you know, from the 80s and before. You know,
particularly if they can play that kind of football, that kind of dribbling and
flowing. Well, imagine them on playing surfaces nowadays, you know, in the condition that they were in back then, you know, in their, you know, like if you get a Maradona from the 80s, plug him into this season, you know, on these kind of flat surfaces and playing field where he can do anything, I think he'd be the best in the world again, obviously. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, of course. Of course, he's the greatest.
Napoli Avellino 3-0 for the Derby. Napoli win again 3-0, the second straight 3-0. 53rd minute Bagni and 68th and 78th Carnevale. Carnevale gets a double again. But this time there is no Diego Maradona. He has decided to sit out of this one and nurse that injury just a little bit. So Chito Mudo wears the number 10. Slow first half. Happens, but then in the 53rd, Bagni finds the net when his shot is saved and he gets the rebound. Carnevale gets a goal in the same fashion, but this time from a free kick. And Mudo finds Andrea Carnevale for an easy third. No Diego, no problem. He calls the team 11 Maradonas.
Very nice. And kind of sat out that many games for us at all over his whole period with us. It's weird to see him not in the, it's incredible really how many games he played. I think what the other thing to mention is that you got Di Napoli going back to his old club and they really remind him. he gets dished out some treatment and there's a red card, right, for a foul on him.
Yes, there is. Yes,
so it's a pretty spicy game, but we come out. So how many is that we've won in a row now? 1, 2, 3, so fourth win in a row since,
so that's Fiorentina's, that is our feet. Yes, sir. That is our fourth win since the Fiorentina. Is that our fourth or is that our third? Well, let's see. Torino Napoli 0-1.
Yes,
Napoli.
Four.
That's four. Okay, so Napoli.
No, that's five now. So we now got five in a row when we beat Torino away from home.
When we beat Torino, it's five, and it's from an 84th minute Giordano goal, who comes on as a substitute. Maradona is back into this game. Bagni to Maradona seems usual at this point. He just finds Maradona all the time, doesn't he? He found Maradona for this one attempt that didn't happen, but Giordano's winner comes just after he came on for Caffarelli. 5 minutes from time, he blasted Diego across from close range. It is, like you mentioned, our fifth straight win. And we have only given up one goal in those five in the match versus Brescia. 12-1. We are 12-4-1 against. But this match would end
huge from Giordano.
Oh,
right?
Very big. Very
you sense it with the reaction from the away fans and the reaction of the team that is one of those really important like flags in the sand. Right, come on guys, let's keep going. And Giordano has that mentality. Crops up all the time with those important goals.
The Scudetto talks really heat up here, but Maradona won't talk Scudetto just yet. But interesting stats from this one came about. So this is our fifth straight win, and it is the first time in 17 years we would win five in a row. Our sixth win on the road, we've got 14 of 18 points. And we have not won twice in Turin versus both Torino and Juve for 31 years, and we'll do that here. And it's the second time in history that we've done it. Against Torino, it's been 6 years since the last win in Turin, and the last three were losses, so there's a little snap there. And then now only Napoli have won every match in the return set of fixtures in Serie A. They are +4 in the Scudetto race with Roma's win over Inter, and Milan's 1-1, so now we're starting to pull away. So that's why Scudetto talks are heating up.
How you win titles? You have to keep winning. You have to become a machine, don't you?
That's it. That brings us to Coppa Italia, Napoli-Brescia 3-0. That would happen on February 25th, 3 days after the Torino match.
Yes.
And 3-0, another 3-0, Frank. Maradona, Mudo, and Giordano. Di Fusco would actually start in net. They made a lot of changes here. Volpecino would start over Ferrara. Muro would start over Caffarelli. Sola would start over Di Napoli. Brescia was a Serie A club. At this point, they were tied for 14th with 13 points with Atalanta. Diego opens the match with a 16th minute. Then Muro blasts a free kick, which was a really nice free kick. His second Napoli goal. And then Giordano puts it away. So that's Coppa Italia for you. Up 3-0 on Brescia. Nice. March 1st would know Napoli going to Genoa to play Sampdoria, and it's a 1-1 which snaps the win streak in the league. 32nd minute Lorenzo goal, but Frank, 5 minutes later, he does it again, man. He just does it again.
It's such a hilarious goal. It's like a diving header 1 inch off the ground. It's great. What, I mean, yeah, pure improvisation.
My note here was like it was like a head first baseball slide. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure you're familiar.
No, yeah, but, I'm familiar. That's,
you know, and he finds the net with the header. And it's similar for me. It's similar to Cavani's third goal against Juve in the 2010-11 season when we won 3-0 on a Cavani hat trick when he scored.
Nice stuff.
All three on headers. They call it the scorpion goal because there's legend has it that that goal hit the back heel of Cavani's leg instead of his head. But I just can't tell anytime I watch it. But anyway, it just was very similar to that. Diego, just amazing. It marks his 200th professional goal. 3 years in Italy, 78 matches, 34 goals in total. But like I said, the win streak stops, but we remain unbeaten in six. At the end of this, when I noticed on the video that I saw, Diego is sporting quite the bandage over his right eye. I'm not 100% sure where that came from, but he looks like he might have a shiner there.
Well, he's a competitor, so hopefully he got that on the pitch rather than off the pitch.
And I hope so.
His behavior. I think just one last thing to mention is the assist is from Reneke bursting forward again on the right and fantastic cross. He's a great sweeper that he can just come forward when he wants. I'm a big Reneke fan.
Yes, sir. Atalanta Napoli, 0-1 to Napoli, 12th minute Bruno Giordano. Another win. We're unbeaten in seven now. It's the seventh road win of the season. Again, Maradona, Melio Pelé chance from the away crowd.
Nice.
I really love it. I love it. When you get that many fans away, I mean, the Northern Italian Neapolitan workers are coming out in droves to these stadiums to go watch Maradona play. But this is the match where Napoli would pull ahead of Roma 5 points. So Napoli are at 33 points now. Roma with 28, Milan with 28, Juve with 28, Inter with 26. We're now 5 points out, Frank. So the talks are growing and growing and growing.
And we look quite nervy towards the end, actually. There's a few penalty shouts turned down. We're quite lucky. We got it, man. We got it.
You know, as many calls against, like as many calls as the referee didn't make for us, they also didn't make a lot of calls against us too. You know, we've really, you need everything. You need luck. You need the play. You need, you know, the minds. You need the back office. You need the front office. You need the players on the pitch.
You just need it all.
Napoli, Roma, 0-0, but this would garner Napoli's highest gate receipt at 1,851,000 equivalent, I guess, to dollars. 82,500. Only 14 tickets would be comped for free, which was a thing back then. You can comp some tickets. I think it's
still they would have been the best connected people in.
I tell you, I mean, only 14. Those are record numbers at that point. But this match also marks a bunch of huge results because Napoli, being 5 points ahead of Roma in the Scudetto race, would maintain that 5-point lead. But Inter would beat Juve 2-1. Brescia would beat Milan 1-0. and Napoli would remain 5 points ahead in the race when Inter would win and get to 28 with Juve and Milan. So now, for me, those are big results because any result, you know, a Juve result against Inter and a Milan result against Brescia would close the gap there, and we've just maintained that five. It's a funny little note is they ask Bagni, since Maradona is better than Pelé, Maradona medio Pelé, who is Bagni better than? And Bagni says he's better than no one. Which is not the truth, because Bagni is, you know, an animal, if you ask me.
Yeah, and he has a great chance to win the game right at the end, bless him, but it doesn't quite come on. But yeah, the atmosphere is amazing. Interesting to say it was our biggest game receipts, because again, check out the highlights, guys. I mean, it's just great to see the stadium like that. Right.
Napoli would then travel to Milan, and now is where you see Napoli kind of fold a little bit, a slip, if you will. Inter would beat Napoli 1-0 for Napoli's second loss of the season, an 85th minute Bergomi winner, and that just has to crush you. You know,
of all the players in all the world, in all the
exactly,
in all the exactly. Jazz jobs. Yeah,
but like you mentioned, Zenga is the best player against us this season. He made incredible. Some real big saves in this one.
Yeah.
Maradona would miss. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The superstitions, they're coming in. I'm feeling them. Even though I know what happens, I'm thinking, oh, God, this is classic Napoli.
Exactly. Maradona would limp off again, so there's a little worry there once again. Yeah. But Bianchi was interviewed after, and he says he's not worried of the slip. But the unbeaten run ends at eight matches unbeaten. Roma would win against Empoli. So now they are three behind Napoli. Fiorentina Milan would be 2-2 and Juve Como would be 1-0. So 34 for Napoli, 31 for Roma, Inter 30, Juve 30, Milan 29. Next up though, Frank, Napoli Juventus at the San Paolo on March the 29th of 1987. 85,000, and this to me, a 2-1 win for Napoli would be the biggest win of the season in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see it before the game. The difference between the atmosphere before the game and the atmosphere afterwards is remarkable, isn't it? There's that sense of tension throughout the whole game, nervousness from the crowd, you know, and then whenever we score, there's that release, but then the nerves come back. And then at full time, the roar is wonderful, isn't it?
Wonderful, wonderful. Maradona free kick touch to Renica, who blasts it home in the 14th. Giordano almost makes it two, but Tacconi makes a great, great save. Platini would find Serena with a great cross to tie it up in the 50th. But 5 minutes later, Maradona's cross would find Carnevale, who gets a touch. The touch is kind of off the mark, but Romano would tip it home in an empty net for the match winner. Napoli beat Juve twice for the first time since 57-58, 29 years. Whoa. And they are now at plus five once again. Marchesi, the Juve manager, and this to me says a lot, would say that nothing should stop Napoli. Now, San Paolo explodes and Napoli really celebrate big time on the pitch there. And the newspapers say "Le mani sulla scudetto," which means their hands are now on the scudetto. This was a big one, again, like I said, because now Udinese beat Roma, Inter dropped points to Torino 0-0, and Milan lose to Sampdoria 2-0. So that could be, for me, the biggest victory of the season. Napoli are at 36, Inter 31, Roma 31, Juve 30. Milan 29. Frank, we're in prime position for the Scudetto with five matches to play.
Stop it, Rafa. You got to jinx it. You got to jinx it. What do you? We don't make predictions on this show. So. Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. It's a big, 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 big game.
The jinx too, which is funny because if this were real time and we were just doing a match report.
Yeah, I would never talk to you.
It totally would jinx it. Yeah, absolutely.
But having said that, though, with all this positivity, what happens next? We never make.
We draw. What happens next is we draw to Empoli. You know, we talked about big match wins and then going off to, you know, capitalize. Thank goodness for those results. I tell you, I say it's the biggest win of the season, and that was a note for me after the fact that I noticed the next couple matches come around. And that's when I really started to look at what's going on in the league, because without the Roma loss, the Torino draw, the Milan loss, who knows where we would be now, because Inter would beat Como 1-0, Roma would be Fiorentina 1, Roma Fiorentina would end 1-1, but Atalanta Juve would end 0-0, and Avellino would beat Milan 2-1. But the Inter Roma matches would have really been something had the other results not gone our way. Napoli drop a 0-0 to Empoli, and you can sense that Napoli takes their foot off the gas a bit here, in my estimation.
I totally agree. There's some long range stuff. Maradona has a couple of moments where he tries to do it all himself that don't come off. It always doesn't make me feel that good when that happens, I think.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That when the whole team clicks, it's great. When you just see Maradona trying to do everything, you can't score wonder goals every week, although most weeks he does. And we have a goal ruled out for offside, right, as well.
We do. And the Empoli keeper really does well to keep them in the match. We slipped just a bit to plus four, but again, more big results with Avellino beating Milan and Atalanta drawing to Juve. Atalanta fighting relegation as well, so they get some big results in their relegation fight, but it just doesn't come to be. They do end up relegated. That's me getting ahead of everything. Now, that is April 5th. April 8th, 3 days later, Napoli would again beat Brescia 3-0 in the Coppa Italia. Round of 16, second leg, Carnevale, and two by Giordano. No Maradona for this one. 6-0 on aggregate, advanced to quarters. And that's sort of in the rear view for the moment, because Napoli...
Uh-oh. You've just turned the page, and probably what's in front of you, Rafa,
is not a nice sight.
The 12th of April.
It's not. No, it's not. Verona would destroy Napoli 3-0 in Verona, which... Even in this glorious season, yeah, I would love to take back, because it was our worst loss of the season, but it would be the last. That's a little foreshadowing.
Thank goodness.
I'm going to cite fatigue here. You've got such an important match against Juve that we just finished a week and a half ago. You know, you got the or 2 weeks ago, excuse me. You got the match that we drew to Empoli. Then the Brescia match
away.
In between. Away. They're all, yes, this is our third straight away match. It's another note I made. Just 1 point in the last two. Inter would beat Avellino to close the gap to 2 points. Juve would beat Roma 2-0. Milan beat Torino 1-0. Suddenly, the race is back on. Napoli 37, Inter 35, Juve 33. It's not looking good, man. Until...
Maradona has a penalty saved, right, in this game? This
is that's right. Yes, yes, sir.
So if you're looking for bad omens, you're looking for, you know, imagine the atmosphere in Naples after that. I mean, it probably would have been the most quiet the city has ever been, I think. Just the nerves. Oh, goodness. Why am I sweating that? We know what happened.
We are sweating because we've got three matches left in the season, Frank, and we are only 2 points up. Anything can happen. Napoli, Milan, Stadio San Paolo, 90,000 spectators. This is an absolute record. My book, if you can hear that, I'm hitting a book. I've got this great book on Napoli in these seven seasons with statistics galore, and they say 85,000, but the commentator on television says 90,000, $1,863,000. After a much needed break, because we do have a break here, Napoli would find their form of old. Giordano crossed to Carnevale with the header, 33rd minute, 1-0. And then Diego. Diego does it again. A stupendous cross by Giordano. The run by Diego is phenomenal. And as I mentioned earlier, you can't leave Diego Maradona with a hole as big as the Milan defense did. Yeah. Milan known for their defense, and they just left him wide, wide open.
Yeah, and quite an acute angle to finish as well. So we can't underestimate that finish. Fantastic. And I think It's not quite the same atmosphere as the Juve game, but it's pretty close. That sense of palpable relief. You know, the crowd noise on the goals is incredible. The crowd noise on full time is huge. I think this is the moment when even the most superstitious Napoli fan would be like, I think we got this. I don't know what you think, Rafa.
Absolutely. I feel like now that was a perfect match to slip up against. You know, you've got the capocannoniere on the pitch.
Yeah. He scores right at the end, doesn't he?
He scores in the 79th minute to give them a little hope. They're not necessarily out of the Scudetto race themselves, but I think this loss would knock them out. But this is a very special win, the final win of the season at San Paolo, and the next home match. You know what comes in the next home match? We are +2. Inter would beat Fiorentina. Napoli 39 points, Inter 37 points, Juventus at 34 with their draw against Torino, which effectively eliminates Roma and everybody else underneath. So it's a three-leg race with three matches left for the Scudetto. Coppa Italia would come next a few days later. As
incredible, isn't it? This congestion of fixtures.
And it's hilarious that the congestion comes now. At the moment where we really need as much rest as possible between matches, Napoli doesn't let up in the Coppa Italia.
It's amazing to consider, isn't it? Like, any manager now would just put the kids out to focus on the Scudetto. But no, I mean, Maradona scores in this game. I mean, it's unbelievable that he's playing.
Yeah, he starts the match on the bench, so he's wearing the number 16.
Yeah.
It's one of those rare games where Maradona wears the number 16. And he gets a goal, yeah, in the last goal of the game in the 84th minute. Giordano would get in the headlines in Italy were Napoli take a vacation and then Maradona come on and explodes, basically. 45th minute, Giordano in the first half, right at the stroke of first half, Diego would replace Giordano and come in and the match would get just open right up. 3-0 win against Bologna in the first leg of the quarterfinals. You do mention that you know, Bianchi goes right for it, but Di Fusco actually starts in net for this one. So just a little bit of rotation, but I actually urge people, and I'll try to find a link to the an extensive link to highlights to this, or possibly the whole match. It would be great because this is a really good match to watch, with the first half without Maradona, to see how they played, and then once Giordano gets that goal and Maradona comes in for the second half, the match just opens right up, and it's an important win. I'm spending a little more time on this one in the Coppa because it's an important win in between all of these, you know, the situation that we're in Serie A. It would be Napoli to drop this one.
Absolutely. But it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. May 3rd. Como Napoli, and this one was billed as the Scudetto match because a Napoli win and an Inter negative result would see Napoli up 4 points with only two matches left to play on Inter. However, Napoli draw to Como, and Como score again first, like last season.
They play well, really well. Excellent on the counter-attack. You know, there's some fantastic moves.
Something really – yeah, it really is. And something really cool to note, though, is in the Como stadium, in the stadium at Como, fans are cheering, singing the O Sudato Namorato. You know, it rings loud by the Napoli fans. They are in droves for this one. And then just before the Como goal – fans cheer as Ascoli scores versus Inter in the 45th minute. Just before the half ended. They get the news that Ascoli is leading Inter. So now a win against Como would have us only needing 1 point in the next match for Scudetto to wrap it up. But as I mentioned, Como takes that lead. But then Carnevale does get the equalizer, which is the hugest goal of the season at this point. because a Como win would have had Inter way too close to us from here on out. So
Carvalho's scoring some big goals in this little period. He scores against Milan, he scores here, you know, it's, you know, great signing.
He scores in the Copa game too, you know, that Copa match we spoke about. So now the situation is Ascoli would hold on to win against Inter 1-0. Juve would beat Sampdoria, but they're too far back from Napoli, so they're out. So now it's down to Napoli and Inter. Napoli 40 points, Inter 37, Juve 36. Two matches left to play. Napoli now need a win to wrap up the Scudetto at San Paolo against Fiorentina. If they do get a point, Napoli would need help from Atalanta. And ladies and gentlemen, that help would come.
Yeah.
Napoli, Fiorentina, May 10th, Stadio San Paolo. Frank, I'm getting chills just thinking about it right now.
And we've recorded this quite close to the 33rd anniversary of this day. And it's been wonderful to see everyone's memories and contributions and stuff on social media. And watching this footage, man, the pre-match, how does it feel to look at that stuff, Raf?
I mean, I've seen it a million times in my life. As a kid, we had a video cassette of Napoli Campione was called, and I've seen it time and time again. We were only 3 years old at this point, Frank, but you know, growing up as close to Napoli as I have all my life, I remember flashes of this, and I remember more watching the video cassettes as a 7, 8, 9 year old. It makes me real emotional. I'm starting to get emotional right now.
That's good. Emotions are good, Rafa. Don't worry, man.
85,000 at the San Paolo. You can cut the tension in San Paolo with a knife.
And the flags, you have the whole stadium's covered up, and the flares, fireworks are bright, the Azzurro colors everywhere. It's a glorious day as well.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning that in between the Como match and this match, Napoli disposed of Bologna in the Coppa Italia 4-2 with a 7-2 aggregate qualifier for the semifinals.
So many games.
So, yeah.
These guys are so fit, you know, physically fit. Yeah. The real heroes to keep going and keep that heavy metal football going, because the intensity is high in this match, right? So much to play, but there's that real physicality still, that drive towards the goal. That we've seen throughout the whole season. My legs would be jelly on that pitch in front of all those fans.
So I want to personally say thank you to Ascoli and Atalanta for disposing of Inter 1-0 each, because at some point in the first half, between Napoli's goal by Carnevale in the 29th minute, which is the goal dello Scudetto.
Maradona. Viene avanti al Carnevale in posizione gol. Gol del Napoli con Carnevale. Carnevale 28th minute, Napoli 1.
Napoli would find out that Atalanta have taken the lead on a 36 minute Ferri own goal. And Atalanta themselves fighting relegation need that goal very much. And here it comes. Carnevale would get a great ball. And, you know, one-on-one versus the keeper just kind of touches it, slots it in. It's nothing crazily special. It's nothing, you know, amazingly special. But it's a goal that sends San Paolo into delirium. San Paolo explodes, Frank.
Oh, the scenes on the pitch, off the pitch, the noise, the color, and the camera comes out and you can see the beautiful vista of the Bay of Naples. It's beautiful. And the goal's pretty good though, you know what I mean? There's some quality in there. The highest stakes, the biggest game in the history of the club. There's a nice pass from Maradona. through to Cannavale, plays a really nice 1-2 with Giordano, and when he gets the ball back, he hits it low first time. I mean, it's hard to do that stuff when literally every single person born in Naples wants you to win.
And, I didn't mean to downplay the goal. It's just seen.
Yeah, yeah, we've seen some golazzos. It's not a golazzo, of course, but it's.
But this is one that will be etched in everyone's memory for how long? You know, this is the goal that wins us the Scudetto, and you know, the San Paolo erupts amazingly. Joy has turned quickly to anxiety, though, as someone on the pitch by the name of Roberto Baggio, a young lad.
He sounds good.
He sounds like he could do something in his career. No, he would score his first goal, his first Serie A goal of his career in this one, which is amazingly remarkable, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's a fine free kick. He's wearing the 11 shirt. Yeah, classic. How must that have felt? Can you imagine being in the stadium? Just like, oh no, is this when the wheels come off?
It's amazing to know that such a legend like Roberto Baggio gets his first goal ever in this sort of environment, at this type of match, at that stadium, with those people, with so much on the line. You know, he could well have spoiled the party for the San Paolo, but after a rather uneventful rest of the match,
yes,
and as Atalanta holds Inter, Napoli will coast the rest of the way, and Napoli, ladies and gentlemen, with this result, will clinch their first Scudetto of their history. Just an amazing, amazing feat. I'll never forget Bruno Pizzul with the microphone clutching on to Ottavio Bianchi, noting the time and the date.
47, you know. 10 maggio, Napoli campione d'Italia, Bianchi. Napoli campione d'Italia.
That for me was just, that's what set me off. And it's making me a little emotional again.
How does it feel to say those words, Rafa?
You know, it's been 30, we just celebrated the anniversary of it, 33 years. Yeah. And just to watch Diego say that this was more special to him than winning the World Cup, because in the World Cup, he won it in Mexico away from his home crowd. And to be on the pitch at San Paolo for him, where this is his home, makes this a bigger achievement than that, you know. Man, would I have loved to have been born 10 years early and been at this match.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment, and what a thing to say as well. We can say what you like about Maradona, but occasionally he can say something, and he's just a gentleman, you know. And that really was a wonderful tribute to his relationship to the city. I mean, it is a very emotional thing to watch for anybody, really. And actually, the thing that really got me was actually Bianchi in his blue tracksuit. You know, he's a trainer. He's a mister. You know, he's really got these guys together. And he looks completely overwhelmed. People are running up to him, kissing him and mobbing him. And he just looks the most sort of unlikely guy to have engineered this kind of wonderful moment. And the colours are there as well. Beautiful footage of the flares on the pitch. And Diego looks completely exhausted, doesn't he? I mean, the effort he's put in, the amount of games coming off that World Cup, all the stuff in his personal life. And he looks
exhausted, but relieved as well.
Yeah, the relief. Yeah, yeah. That satisfaction. We've all, you know, that sense of having put everything, and he put everything into it and left nothing behind. Must have been a great feeling. And then we go to the dressing room and all the songs and the singing, and it's just great, that bit, isn't it? And Diego's interviewing people and stuff.
Yeah, that is something to note as well. The celebration in the spogliatoi, the singing, you know, oh my, 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 my. Diego singing his own song. Singing O Soldato Innamorato, Oi Vita Mia.
Nice. Keep it
just
going.
Just the fun.
Keep the fun going, man.
You know, it's a culmination of 2 years, three seasons of hard work, dedication. You know, a lot going on around Diego and Naples, and you know, the pressure that's on him to perform and to produce, and he does it, and it's over, and they win the Scudetto. History.
And every player deserves it. He's played for us this season.
Every single player.
Everyone's made a contribution.
And you know,
local lads in there as well. A lot of local lads.
Right, and it shows, like you said, when Diego starts interviewing everybody, he'll grab everyone and speak to them and tell them how, you know, how important they were to him and to the club. So Napoli are champions of Italy, everybody. 41 points, Inter 37, Juve 37. There is a last match of the season.
Have you seen my notes on this one? Have you seen what I've written?
Yeah.
My notes say... We're champions. Who cares? We still draw it, but fuck it. I mean,
Exactly. Ascoli fighting relegation as well in this one, so it's nice that they get a point. Carnevale in the 11th, 52nd minute. Barbuti would score for Ascoli, but who cares? Like you said, Napoli are champions. And the final table.
It's
not over, but Juventus would climb over Inter for second place. So it's 42, Juve 39, Inter 38, Verona 36, Milan 35. So Juve, Inter, Verona, and Milan would go to the UEFA Cup. Napoli will play next season in that era's version of the Champions League, known as the Club Champions Cup. You know, it's not over. Just like the season started with 5 Coppa Italia matches, the season will end with 4 Coppa Italia matches. Semifinals, first leg, May 28th, Cagliari-Napoli. 1-0 win on a 77th Maradona winner. Cagliari had just been relegated from Serie B, finishing in last place. So you have a Serie B team on the way to Serie C in the semifinals. Napoli would win that 1-0. And then in the second leg on June 3rd, Napoli would win 4-1 quite handily. Carnevale, 2 from Giordano, 1 from Muro. And that would set up Napoli to the final of the Coppa Italia. Napoli would take on Atalanta at the San Paolo. 3-0 victors there. Renica, Muro, and Bagni would score, and then basically putting the Coppa Italia right in their back pocket. And then Napoli would go to Bergamo, where relegated Atalanta would lose 1-0 to Napoli. Giordano in the 85th. It didn't matter because the first win got Napoli the Coppa Italia. Diego Maradona celebrates a Napoli double as captain of Napoli. It is the third double in the history of Italian football, first coming from Torino in 42-43, the second coming from Juventus 59-60, and no other team has done it after Napoli until Juve would in the 94-95 season, and then you'd get Lazio's double in 2000, Inter was handed it in the Calciopoli in 05-06, and then their treble season in 09-10. Then, as we know, Juve would go on to win four straight doubles in this current legacy that they're
Well, let's not worry about that. Let's talk. I mean, just finally, just to wrap things up, seeing Ferrari on the pitch with that cup, and I think Ferrari has been with the club for 10 years now, and imagine the things that he's seen. Underrated player, I haven't talked about him that much. He's a defender. And he just looks really overwhelmed. It's a beautiful thing to see. And nice for us to win this trophy up north, particularly go right the way back to Maradona. Welcome to Italy and Verona. Okay, we're in Bergamo, slightly different part of the world. But there's something very symbolic about that, that actually Napoli are the best team in Italy in both competitions. And we won the league in our home kit in the blue, and we've won the cup in our white, beautiful white kit away. So it doesn't matter where we go in the country, Rafa, we're champions. It was wonderful.
And you know, a lot of people put the Coppa Italia down, and honestly,
13 games.
It's 13, and but you know, nowadays they do. It's just the Copa, but you qualify for a very prestigious tournament in Europe by winning it at this time, and also, like I said, the third in history and the first time since 1960 that anyone's ever done it. It's so hard to do it. So Napoli doing it just made it even more special, you know, especially winning it like a month after winning the Scudetto.
Yeah, keeping everyone's heads together. Imagine the parties and the atmosphere and all that stuff. First Scudetto in the history of the club and the city. We've all been talking about the emotions, and it's 33 years on. Imagine what it was like to be there. And if Bianchi can keep their heads together for a month afterwards, it's over a month after the Fiorentina game is the last game of the season. It's great, sure. You know. And I mean, unfortunately, how the clubs run and all that kind of stuff, we start to see some cracks after this, but let's not worry about that now. It's just everything's come together, the results of the other teams, world-class players, fantastic playing style, and I think the right coach as well, and the greatest player in
absolutely.
The world.
It's absolutely.
Absolute privilege to look back at this stuff, man.
Absolutely. So that's it. Napoli are double champions. Napoli win their first Scudetto in history. Napoli win their third Coppa Italia in history. I think that's going to do it, Frank. You can find us on Twitter at Frank Sidekick, my man over there, at Rafa Napoli 83, me, at Far From Vesuvius, us. Check us out. There is some sort of project that I'm working on. I'm hoping to start a YouTube channel for us. I've got family members that were around during this time that remember it very well that I really want to speak to, and I'm working on that, so look for that. Frank, until next time, this has been 1986-87, the year of the Scudetto. Napoli are champions. We will see you next time. Thank you very much for listening. Ciao, Frank.
Ciao.
Anni, se permette.